Let me start off with this. 1 Corinthians 13. Scripture that you all know very well, but I want to start off with this because it's such a powerful scripture. It stays a powerful scripture. Doesn't it? How many times I read this thing? And the scary thing is the slower I read it, the more it says. So read it slow. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Ish. It is not irritable. Ish. Twee ishes op daai ene. Or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then verse 8. Love never ends. Incredible if you think about that in the context of who God is. Love never ends. It never, you know, you cannot bottle up love. You can't put it in a bottle and sell it. You cannot save it for a rainy day. But yet love has this incredible knack to have an impact far beyond the moment. Where love was shown to someone, that love might even impact generations, might impact nations even. So although love is expressed in a moment, the impact of that is far reaching. And to the mothers in that sense, I want to say, ladies, the love that you show, that you pour out in your children, know that that love is not in vain. It carries on. It's the thing that shapes lives. It's the thing that will change people forever. So please, never stop loving. The impact of love never expires. It's such a beautiful thing. It's always current, and it's always relevant to the moment to which it's called for. You know, when you show love, someone love in that moment, it will transform that life. It's never outdated. Love will never be outdated. It will never reach the point where, you know, social media will replace love. Yes. It's something that is unique to who we are. And even more so as children of God, that this love that is in us, that we can express, will always be relevant and current and effective in the day for which we have it. In a world that is filled with so much hate and suspicion and who knows what else, love never ends. It never fails. It is for a moment such as this. This need for love is built into our very DNA. We all desire it. We all fall apart when we don't receive love. Tell you, take someone and separate them from people that love them and look what happened to that person. But put someone between people who loves upon them and you will see them thrive. You will see their lives transformed, right? A household where there is love is incredible. Children become amazing people just because they are loved. And if you consider that in the context of 1 Corinthians 13, if as we love one another, as we love our children in that way, you know, you read that scripture and as a parent, you have to go like, whew, never irritable. Oh, man, fail. Nah? Okay, it's only us. Honey, it's only us. So you know, this was a tough road. You know, Jamel didn't sleep for 2.5 years. You know, we didn't become irritable. It was so much fun standing for 2 hours trying to put him to bed. And when you put him down, he goes. And then the 2 hours starts all over again. But that need for love is built into each one of us. Who doesn't have that need for love? I'm just checking. But we all have that need of for love built into us. We desire it. We seek it out. Sometimes it's hard to find, but don't stop seeking, looking for it. And the power and capacity of love is untamable. It has no limits. It believes the best, that scripture says. It believes, where's that part? Any case. It continues to hope. Love is amazing. You know, when we think of love, we think of it, you know, when a man pursues woman kind of scenario. But saints, it doesn't end there. Love doesn't end the moment you find your spouse and you get married and you stayed married. It doesn't stop there. Love continues. It is there. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says this. So faith, hope, and love abides in these three. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. So we can do the rest. We can hope. We can have faith. We can do incredible things through that. But the greatest of this is love. Now, as I was preparing, I sat, and you know, sometimes you have to slow down and think who this amazing God of ours is and what he does. And when you do that, you see his handiwork in everything that we do. And then even as I was just thinking about it, about Mother's Day happening today and the love of God, I realized how God just, you know, woven into us so many things. This love that we are speaking about is woven into us without we actually knowing it. And we express it actually without thinking about it. So this morning, I just want to take a moment and reflect. Since we are doing Mother's Day, what a mother's love and how a mother's love reflects the father's love. Now, if you think about this, the capacity of a mother's love is astounding. Dad will lose it long time ago. You know, it's not that he doesn't love his son. he didn't become irritable. But the expression of a mother's love is astounding. If you just think about the bond between a mother and a child. When that child is born, there's a link there. There's a love there that you cannot explain to anybody. That love of a mother is not easily broken when circumstances or actions do not align with what that mother wants. Doesn't like it though, but it doesn't make that love ends. Which is that not so true of our God? That our doesn't matter what we do, his love never stops for you. He keeps on loving you. A mother's love can break through the hardest heart. Doesn't how hard a child is, a mother will seldom or ever stop pursuing that child, at least in her heart, keep them in that place where they desire to, you know, that they will be saved. And is that not how God longs for us? That the hardest heart, the wrongest life, you know, so many times people think, I am beyond saving. I've done so many incredible, ugly things that God can never save me. And yet God pitches in people's lives and he saves them. There's many testimonies out there of people who did bad stuff, whose hearts were really hard, and then God pitches in their lives and they transformed. That is our God. When the rebellious one returns, the mother will love them like they never did anything wrong. True? Yes, there's stuff that need to be sorted out and so on, but that love just accepts, you know. And I think of the prodigal son and how God just shows us his love there for those that go wayward. They go spend their inheritance in places they shouldn't. And when they come back, he just loves them. You know, I've never walked into my mother's house after doing bad stuff that, well, the fact that I'm still here means that I was okay. I'm glad Dad wasn't there. That's not that bad, but it's different when Dad's there. I slaan hom baie harder as ma. That was a, yeah. Buddy, I know we can't hit our children now, but man, in my day, the saying thing was, what? Buig die boompie terwyl hy jonk is. Wie het dit gehoor in hulle lewens? Oh, man. The seat of learning was corrected. Okay. A mother's love overcomes great obstacles. And I want you just to think even how your mom has loved you. But for those that are mothers now of small children, just be encouraged of the capacity that God has placed within you to actually love. A mother's love has this incredible power to let go when she has to. You know, when that child decides to go, she will let them go. Doesn't mean she forgets about them or even stops loving them, but they go. They've got this capacity to let go when it's necessary. But they have the patience to wait. Probably one of the toughest things of a parent, you know, father or mother, that when your child chooses the wrong way to say, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, and you are always welcome home. That love never expires. It is still there, despite, even though it's painful, even though it hurts. I just wonder sometimes through our rebellion how we hurt God. When we choose to walk in ways that is not his desire or his will for our lives, whether it's big or small, but we choose a direction which he is not desiring for us. Yes, I'm sure it's painful to him too. And yet, he never stops loving us. A mother's love believes the best when others see the worst. I see this when teachers give a not so good report about the child, for instance. You know, your child's not going to make it. You know, school is not for you. And then the mother goes, don't mess with my kid. But even in that moment, a mother will say, no, that's fine. I'll go home and I'll sort this out. And then mother goes home and talks and teaches and put in extra hours and do stuff that is incredible. I mean, I just think of what Lorette does. The hours that she has sat with these two, teaching them stuff. Dank die Here vir 'n vrou. The patience, the loves that she has for them. You know, one of the most incredible things that a mother does is they teach us how to love. How to love when even there's not much coming back. A mother loves like no one else can. A mother has this built-in capacity to love and nurture like no man can do, and I've realized this. I'm so glad God decided that it's a man and a woman that needs to raise children, because that is a good thing. Because a woman has this incredible capacity to love and nurture like a man cannot do. We do it differently. But it's incredible how a woman can do this. And if you think of how Father God, through his love, just keeps pursuing us, keeps loving us, keeps nurturing us, walking with us, the absolute patience he has with us. Does a mother's love not reflect exactly that? You know, where God, when he said, let us make Adam, and then he said, let us make Eve, when he made Eve, he put in her this capacity or this very reflection of who he is. And I don't think we often see it. We miss the fact that we are made in his image and through our lives express who God is. And as I sat down, as I thought about this, I just realized How a mother's love actually reflects who God is without them actually even realizing it. So ladies, whether you know this or not, you have a powerful ministry through the love that you express, not just to your children, but to those around you. He's built it into you. You know, when you serve God, He just amplifies that. Because even as a man and a woman, as that marriage reflects Christ and His bride, so that woman in that reflects the love of God to everyone that is around us. And I'm astounded, actually, by the power of that love that that comes through a mother. So I listed a few things here. A mother's love reflects the Father God's love in the following ways. She gives you life. She feeds you, protects you, clothes you, disciplines and corrects you. Another one we don't like. Instructs you, forgives you, believes in you. And according to that video, she's your friend, your healer, your helper, your teacher, your counselor. She loves me despite my rebellion, my mistakes, or my conduct. That is a mother. So ladies, again, I want to honor you for the role that you play. And for those that are not mothers yet, I know you do that in any case, especially if you've got a husband. They have experienced that already. So let's just have a quick look. If I take that into scripture now, how a mother's love just reflects God's love. And the first one, He gives you life. In Psalm 139, verse 13, He says this, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." God was there when life was given to you in your mother's womb. He formed you there. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So it's not just physical life that He gives us, but He comes and He forgives us our sins. He gives us eternal life. He gives you life. Why? Because He loves you. Because you were made in His image. Because He formed you in your mother's womb. Because He loves you exceedingly. Far more than I think we can think or imagine. Then He feeds you. Matthew 6:25 says this, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Do not be anxious about these things that your life needs. Because your Father knows this. You know, even just in this scripture, I think one of the toughest things to do is when I have this need for food or clothing or whatever, to firstly realize that life is about more than food and clothes and all the rest of it. But it's in the patience and the faith to wait on a Father who loves me to provide, and not to necessarily jump out and make a plan. So many times in our lives, we pray about something and then we make a plan. Okay, it's not you guys doing this. It's awesome. It's like we were trying to still that anxiousness in us. We want to make a plan to get it to shut up, you know? So I want to get rid of it. But I want to tell you, if you wait upon Him, because He knows that life is more than this. And you can go read the rest of Matthew 6, that He loves you so much that He says, "No, I'll provide this for you." But it's then that constant walking with Him and putting my hand in His hand. John 6:35 says this, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Again, not just your physical needs, but your spiritual needs as well. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." He's the one that feeds you. Yes, through providing for you day in and day out. You know, can I just say that on the providing day in and day out, I've realized that my way of God, what I think God and how God should provide for me every day, is seldom the way He thinks it should be done. That I think a nice piece of bread will be nice today, and He goes like, no, it's only an apple. And I go, excuse me, Lord, I wanted the bread. He's like, no, apple is sufficient. And if you trust Him in this way, even just with your physical needs, I think what we have learned in our journey walking with God is that, you know, abundance will be nice, but it's, if I look back, it's the supernatural provision of God through our lives and stuff. I actually don't know how that works. But He does that in ways that I don't think it should be done, because I had other plans. Yet He is God. And then He says, man, I am the bread of life. I'm the one who gives you life, who gives you eternal life. If you eat from me, if you draw strength from me, if you tap into me, then I will give you eternal life, or life for eternity. So how much more should we eat the bread of life? How much more should we consume the things of God, be part of it? Let him fill us to overflowing so that we can bear this life, in this life, this eternal life. Why? Because He loves us. And then He protects you. Psalm 91 verse 9 to 11 says, it's because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, and there's a because there. It says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. You know, if we reflect back to, you know, the word being a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, how does this shape my response to life, general, to my own safety? How does this scripture relate to my daily life? You know, I'll tell you a short testimony. I owned a 9mm Luger years ago. That's a pistol. And because we lived in Joburg, and at that stage, Joburg was rough. So much so that in the evenings, you don't stop at a robot. It's a comma. No, really. This is how we, when you get to the robot and there's nothing, you go second gear and you go. Especially in certain areas, it was hectic. You would get hijacked. The reports of hijackings and stuff was nasty. So what does any young man do? I just came from the army. I tank up. Got it, yeah, puppy. Don't mess with me. I'm not stupid. I know how to use the thing. I've just been in the army. I'm trained. So I had this thing for my protection. And my family, of course. I was loaded. Always drove one up with a safety on. So I was ready. Stop my buddy robot, puppy, and we'll see what happens there. You know, and one day, sort of sequence of events happened. We went to my uncle's farm, and I had the gun in the little pouch underneath my seat, and got to the farm and took it out of the pouch just to see that it's still okay. And as I got it into my hand, I was standing like this on the door sill, a shot went off. Missing my knee, I don't know how close it was. Hitting a dent in my brother's Merc this size. And I'm going, whew, that was the first thing. The second thing is my brother was in the police, and one day we had this discussion about the law around firearms, and if I shoot someone in my house, what's the repercussions? And I went, the guy that I'm shooting is better off than me pulling the trigger. Sort of things that, you know, I believe God was stirring, starting to work in my life. And then it's a couple of months or something after that, I was having quiet time the one day, and I realized, because I've made the Lord my dwelling place. And I realized, God, if you cannot protect me. Now, I'm not saying you mustn't wear a firearm here, but this was my revelation. If my God, the one who sits on the throne, the Almighty, All-Powerful, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, cannot protect me, then the pistol is not going to help. And my life was shaken. And I decided that day to make the Lord my dwelling place, my refuge, my strong tower, to trust in Him for my safety. Whether I live in Alberton, Gangster Valley or not. And I sold the thing. And to this day, I still believe that. If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords cannot protect me and my family, then nothing I do can help me. Because He's God. So that's my faith. I'm not saying this is your faith. But this is where I am with my journey. And I just read the scripture and I go, it's like, whoa. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. I guess the question is, how much am I willing to make God my dwelling place, my strong tower, my fortress? Doesn't matter where I live. How can missionaries walk into the most dangerous places simply because God is with them? Minister to the weirdest and most dangerous people because the Spirit of God is upon them. And then He clothes you. Matthew 6 verse 30 says this, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is by day, which by day, today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And why does He put in that last part? Why does He have to add the, oh, you of little faith? Because I think we so easily give up when we trust in God for provision. We don't wait till He provides. Like I said earlier, maybe we make a plan. Or we've got an idea how He should provide, and we don't have the patience to wait for Him to actually just pitch. So if you are trusting God for clothes and stuff, know that it's He that wants to provide for you. You know, and you can pull this through to many areas of our lives. It's just, don't be of little faith. And then the one that the Father, in the way that He loves us, which we don't necessarily enjoy, is He disciplines and corrects us. But this is not for Christians, right? This is only for those that, you know, that are sort of just in the beginning of their journey with God, and or those that don't serve Him, you know, the correction is only applying to them. No, He says He disciplines and corrects you. Proverbs 3 verse 11 to 12 says, my son, my son and daughter, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves. As a father, the son in whom He delights. Discipline is never nice. I cannot say there was one time that I enjoyed disciplining my sons. It's actually one of the last things I want to do. I'll try anything else. But to give the hiding when we still could was tough. And I know for Father God to step into your life and my life and go like, but this is where I need to bring correction, is never nice to Him. But He knows that the goal which He is aiming at for your life, you need to align with that. And the discipline is necessary. And we should allow God to come into our lives and say, my son and my daughter, this is not right. This is not the way that you should walk in. That is the way. And you know what? Don't be surprised if He uses the person next to you to do that. And to the men, obviously, your wife. Nah? We can neither confirm nor deny that that's the truth, right? Okay, no. Revelation 3 verse 19 says this, I correct and discipline everyone I love. Take this seriously and change the way you think and act. I correct and discipline everyone that I love. So trust God, allow God to love on you, to discipline you, and then change the way you think and act. It doesn't help, you know, if you discipline your child and they just kind of go on with stuff, the discipline will also continue, true? But it's when they change that things change, and then we can carry on to the next phase. And here God is expressing the desire to love on you, to love on you in a way that will change your life, even though it is through correction. Allow God to love on you. And like a mother, then he says, he instructs us. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So much God loves you. You know, if I just see, if I can use our lives as an example, but if I see to the extent that we as parents are willing to go to instruct our children, to teach them and so on, then I'm sure in the way that God wants to do it, it's just so astounding, so amazing that he wants to do it. He wants to counsel you. He wants to guide you with his eye because he can see much further than you have. And, you know, for us as parents, so many times we say to our children, you know, I've been there, I've done that. Learn from me. I've made this mistake. Don't make the same mistake. And here we have Father God, who's perfect in all his ways, who wants to guide us and counsel us with his eye upon us. Such a beautiful picture. Going, man, my son, my daughter, I know where I'm going. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. Your loving father, my loving father is always there, willing to say, turn to the left, to the right. Yes, I want to instruct you in the way that you should go. Now, I've said this in the past, but I believe we as Christians are so many times willing to settle for vagueness when it comes to the instructions of God. And I believe we just need to sit still, even at this time, and just hear his voice going, this is the way. Walk in it. You know, for instance, yes, what is he saying to you about a life? But what is he saying to you about his kingdom purpose and mission? In what way is he instructing you to walk at this time as his son and daughter? Where is he telling you to turn left and right? Because why? Because he's got a kingdom purpose and vision for your life. Allow him to instruct you, and then he forgives you. This is the most awesome thing that God does. Psalm 103, verse 11 to 12 says, as for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. I don't think we can grasp that one. In the fact that, you know, the east and the west doesn't meet. It just carries on going. And it removes us and keep removing us from us, I almost want to say, when we repent, when we come to him. He forgives us. He does not think about your stuff. Maybe it's just you. How many times do we repent for the same thing over and over again? And then he goes like, huh? But you repented, right? What are we talking about? Allow God to minister to you through his love, the power of the forgiveness that he applies into your life. But remember, repentance means not going, repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We can say that 20 times a day and nothing changes, right? But repentance is that thing of, I'm going in one direction, I repent of my sins, and I'm making 180 degree, and I'm walking away with it, never to do it again. And then he says, I remove it to you as far as east is from the west. I'm so thankful that God is so patient with us, because when we still do mess up, he's still willing to love on us. He doesn't go like, you did this already. Cheers, China. This is over. I'm done with you. But if you want to see the power of God in your life, when you repent, walk away from stuff. Stop fiddling with it. Stop playing with that which you know is sin. Turn away from it and allow him to set you free completely. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to cleanse us. It's like being full of mud and getting into a bath. He cleanses you, washes you with his blood, purifies you. He makes you acceptable to come into his presence. Confess your sins. Deal with it. Allow him to forgive you and walk in that forgiveness. And then I added this one. It says, he hears you. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8 says this. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Everyone who asks will receive. The one who searches will find. And for the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That is God's desire for us, is to ask, to knock, to pursue him, to seek him out. He's willing to open that door. He's willing to do these things for each one of us. Are you still knocking? Are you still asking? Or have you given up? God loves you like a mother can never love you. And a mother's love is amazing. A mother's love is so many times unconditional. Yet our Father loves us more than we can ask or think. Can we just close our eyes this morning? If we can just have someone here ministering with me, I'll appreciate it. Do you still believe that God loves you? Or is there, you know, maybe you believe it in general that God loves you, but there's an area that you think, he doesn't love me because he's not, I don't know, providing, giving you stuff, making a way. The reality is that he loves you far more than you can ask or think. And I believe this morning, even as we are celebrating Mother's Day, our Heavenly Father wants to invite us to a much, much closer relationship with him. He wants to invite us into a deeper walk. And not just experiencing his love, but expressing his love through your life. This morning it's about that total surrender that Charmaine was speaking about, that total surrender to allowing the boundaries of your garden to be open to God to move them as he sees fit. To take the love that is poured out in your life and to transform and touch others' lives through you. It's that total surrender. It's that place where you throw your hands in the air and you go, God, I don't know what to do. Please just lead me. Or where you fall on your knees simply because you know he is God. And he can use a simple, insignificant life like yours and mine in a day like today because he loves you. You know, your past doesn't scare him. Yesterday doesn't scare him. You know, who your parents were or weren't. Your family is. He knows it all. There's nothing that can separate you from His love this morning. And just like a father, some of you, He's pursuing. He's running after you. He's going, my son, my daughter, come close. He's calling you. He's saying, come. Allow me to pour my spirit out in you. Allow me to work through you, to minister through you. So some of you need to stop running this morning. Allow the Father to love on you. Just to receive His love this morning. I just want you to, as you sit there with your eyes closed, just focus on God for me right now. Just focus on Him. This loving Father. Father, I pray that You will give us a revelation of Your love for us this morning. Father, I pray that You will break through the hard hearts. That Your love will break through this morning. Father, I pray that You will take the broken heart and that You will mend it. That You will bring healing like only You can do. I pray, Father God, that You will touch every heart. As you're sitting here this morning, I just feel prompted to say that if there is somebody in your life that you are holding something against, please consider forgiving them this morning. Because unforgiveness only puts the one who is harboring it in jail, in captivity. Unforgiveness is more harmful to you than to the person you are holding it against. So just let that go. Forgive them this morning. You know why? Because your Father is willing to forgive you your sins. And He says, I remove it as far as the east is from the west. And I don't think about it anymore. So don't hold that grudge. Don't hold that hurt. Allow the Holy Spirit to just come and minister into that this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will come. And every heart that is hurting. Lord, I want to pray for those relationships that are being shipwrecked at the moment, that there will be restoration. That You will come and You will heal these relationships, Lord. I pray as these people just let them go, as they forgive them, that You will heal that heart in Jesus' name. Lord, let Your love just wash over us this morning.